This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday Night War Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamblett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review the Wednesday Night War. And if you want to know our preview of NXT's Halloween Havoc...
Nick!
Oh, God! I knew it. I knew eventually we'd morph into like American morning radio. It's Wilborn and the Dads.
Wilborn and the Dads. I got this for a quid. It's got six spooky sounds. And if you go and check out our NXT preview, maybe you hear all six. Just there's a sell for you. Anyway, we also review Raw and SmackDown. Reviews, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, joined by Hamplet and Sidgwick to look ahead to Dynamite tonight. A stacked show tonight, Michael Sidgwick.
Oh! Yes. How the moon... Enjoy at the prospect of this card. This is a strange one, right? Because ordinarily you'd think stacked card, taped show, cannot fail. But the injury to Abaddon, which has hastened, unfortunately, a creative reshuffle, sounds absolutely terrifying to the point that, and on a selfish level, obviously I hope Abaddon is fine. She's tweeted to the effect that she's going to make it through whatever the hell that was, but that might have a knock-on effect on the show itself. I mean, obviously you'd like to think that people were shaken up by it, so who knows how that might affect the ultimate end product. But all going well, this should be a great show.
Yeah, these taped ones are not just a victory for like the great booking that AEW continues to like exercise most weeks. It also is like their first major flex of being able to produce that bottled television and it not feel dated and tired as a lot of taped stuff can. This feels like a billion years ago now, but if you remember the days of NXT on the network, no matter how good some of the angles were, that fourth week of the cycle was hard, was a hard shift to get through. You felt the fans were tired, you felt the wrestlers were a little bit exhausted with the stuff they were having to do. And that's never come across when AEW are doing these. I mean, I know they tend to only be like fortnightly cycles, but it never comes across in that second Dynamite, and typically it's been the opposite. If last week's, and like this got a bit lost in the conversation because of Ladina Debonair, but if last week's first hour live can be replicated over two recorded, we might tomorrow be talking about another Dynamite for the ages.
Huge matches tonight. Two title matches and two world title eliminator semi-finals. Let's start with Kenny Omega versus Penta Sidge. Obviously, it was originally going to be Rey Fénix. He's out due to an injury. Not to dismiss Fénix or Penta, and I think either one in this match was going to be sensational, but all eyes yet again will be on Kenny Omega here, won't they?
Indeed, absolutely. The genius about his entrance last week, right, is that as great as it was last week, it's this totally amazing bolt from the blue, this wonderful caricature of a, I'm going to be a big time star now, presentation, as if, like the dickhead that the character is magnificently, he can simply turn it off and on like a switch. The genius about that entrance is that he has to do it every week now, and it's going to get funnier every week. He's going to take something amazing and it's going to become a running gag Like, I would like to see, and obviously the worst thing about this is that it allows Justin Roberts to get over somewhat, so that's bad. But nonetheless, if they can swap out the Nakazawa and the North Carolina bit, keep all the Meltzer stuff, because that's truly inspired, because not only does it piss off the correct people, but it's actually true. These are actual towering achievements. But switch up some of the different so-called achievements like the Nakazawa and the North Carolina, but keep the spectacle of it, keep the length of it, keep how ostentatious everything is. And if you do that every single week, it's just going to get funnier and funnier and funnier. And yet the core of it is, it's a spectacular entrance and he's a star. So I'll be disappointed if they don't keep this as a running gag. The match itself, we know, will be absolutely excellent. If there is one thing that the All In match can be criticized for, is that, I don't want to say it peaked before the finish, but there was so much excessive danger that the last couple of minutes maybe lost something because we'd seen so much insanity. I honestly think the obvious caveat that there is no real authentic crowd is going to make everything pale in comparison to what came before, but a more economic TV runtime might actually do what is already a great match, like, even more of a favour. I'm expecting a Kenny Omega win after 15 minutes of in-ring brilliance. But again, I say this quite often, when you're locked in that story and you're locked in this pulsating, awesome match, that part of your mind just switches off the, oh, I know Kenny Omega's going to win. Like, that's the beauty of so-called predictable pro wrestling booking, is that if it makes sense, that's fine. It'll never resonate as this coldly logical thing if the action is top tier.
Although this is obviously an accident and not what they would have planned, I adore, and Sidgwick might be able to correct me on this, I adore that this is the first I can think of those all-in matches that has resurfaced in AEW. I love that this is in the DNA of All Elite Wrestling because it occurred at All In. I can't think of another combination that's yet from that show overlapped and like sort of surfaced on Dynamite. It's funny because this will be great, but all the Omega story and all the stuff that you're going to be thinking about as relates to Omega and Paige is going to be delivered in the aesthetics, is going to be delivered in the entrance, because once the match starts, you are probably going to get something that resembles the Phoenix match. That's no bad thing. These two will just work out of their sort of violent chemistry more than aiming, maybe not, maybe I'm underselling Kenny here, but like more than attempting to tell a deeply artistic story, the one that they might have tried to do with Phoenix. I like the use of like the chemistry that they've exhibited before as a way to just present this explosive tournament semi-final almost exists in and of itself. So I guess I'm echoing what Cedric says there. I think by the time that the match is midway through, you'll be so wowed by the drama of the violence that you'll maybe have forgotten about the cleaner in the entrance and the Hangman Page final that likely awaits. That's going to be quite a fun wrinkle when it comes back at the very end when Kenny's got his hand raised and then you remember the gravity of that win. It'll probably only be then that you are reminded just how important that win is for the storyline rather than the match we've just watched.
There's some potential substantial narrative that can do here. The whole idea is Kenny Omega with that entrance and the idea that he just said as much in an interview a couple of weeks ago to said, oh, it's going to be a star now. It's going to be a single star now. This could obviously lend itself to him being really overconfident and he could extract some near falls that way while servicing Kenny Omega's character. Before we move on, just a quick note, because I think a few people have asked me on Twitter how I feel about how this particular match has come about. Absolutely perfect, in my opinion. There are certain things, particularly, I know AEW holds itself and it should to an exacting standard, but amid these times in which we live, there is that obvious question that I will pose to people of, what else do you want them to do? What else do you want them to do? What they've done here, and again, if you create a storyline universe in which so much connection happens between the wrestlers, mostly by factions, but a lot of the history is always paid off. If you build all of these connections, you will reap the benefits of that foundational approach. We've done that here, or more to the point, I'm not a shill. Tony Khan has done that here with the idea being, right, okay, well, there's an obvious way into the semi-final by using the family. You can use the fact that Phoenix is obviously pissed off that he's not getting this shot to further the dissension. They showed about a month or so ago, Eddie Kingston in the explanatory promo was delighted at the fact that he might be wrestling his best friend. Phoenix, meanwhile, is on the margins. They can go back to Phoenix versus Kenny Omega. The idea being, I didn't get my shot, so I'm going to get it off you now. They can go back to Phoenix versus Penta. Who wouldn't want to see that? We can go to Phoenix versus Eddie Kingston. Like, and at the same time, if you want to get really into the nuts and bolts of it, Tony Khan, if you want to use your headcanon, is always going to say, well, I'd rather have a match than a buy because I'm a promoter with a show that needs to get ratings. All of this makes perfect sense. It's not ideal, but I think they've done as best a job as they could have done under the circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when we previewed it, I was quite happy to have Penta versus Kenny Omega as a semi anyway. It's obviously a shame that we've lost Phoenix, and obviously we hope he recovers soon from that injury. But yeah, like you say, Sige, I think you summed it up best. What are they supposed to do? Like, and it almost intriguingly plays into Kenny Omega's star story. He's just like, well, I think he tweeted to the effect of, I probably should have had two buys here because, you know, Janela drops out, Phoenix drops out, and yeah, I've still got to put on a bloody five-star classic every week. Okay. On the other side of the
brand, I've got to jump in on the bias here, because what were they supposed to do? A guy who's got injured, where is our series of triple threats and a one-hour Iron Man match?
Yeah, like, I know.
That's what they were supposed to do. Come on, like, I'm sick of this. I've got to like play my NXT card. Come on.
On the other side of the bracket is, of course, Hangman Page versus Wardlow. Brilliant profile if you haven't seen it on the Road to Dynamite tonight of Wardlow. He's going to be a megastar, isn't he? I've written this not as oh, well, surely it's Hangman Page for the Omega Page final pamphlet. Instead, I've written, can Hangman Page survive Wardlow?
Yeah. And that's going to be the story, and that's going to be great. I love this match so much before it's even happened. We've seen this really delicious meta-narrative with Hangman Page singles matches of them being of this rich, immense quality when he's the one of the two between him and Omega that has held on to the dream that they might still be a tag team. He is going about having the best singles run of his career since he was in New Japan, whilst trying to be the babyface and cling on to something that Kenny Omega has long like lost interest in. And I've loved that about Hangman Page arc since All Out. Now that changes to him having to fight for that singles career against a guy like Wardlow. We talked about this on the review at the time, not to like pat us all on the back, but one of the best things that they could have done when people yet again called it a burial was beat Wardlow in the manner they did in his debut against Cody. Undefeated streaks are amazing. Unbeatable monsters are fantastic. It's all a lot of fun, and it does build drama down the line when you're patient with it. But sometimes that creates quite the difficulty when it comes to beating them at the right time. Wardlow doesn't have that to protect. Losing a Hangman Page tonight, a Hangman Page in the form of his career, no less, will do no damage to this Wardlow character, who not just over the last fortnight, but over the virtual entirety of his AEW run, has been presented as a monster of the future, a star of Brock Lesnar in 2002's magnitude that they're just going a little bit slower with. And that's okay sometimes when you can trust the process. Sometimes in the WWE, you need to accelerate that because you're worried that Vince McMahon will lose interest. AEW has proven itself to be the company that doesn't do that. So Page will survive and defeat Wardlow tonight. But there's just so much evidence to suggest that this is going to be booked impeccably, as if to like remind you that both guys are preeminent stars. I think this is going to be, this is maybe going to steal the night from underneath some potentially much more exciting matches.
And sold brilliantly by Hangman on Twitter. Sad Yeehaw Man versus Big Muscle Tits.
Hangman Page is the best. I would like to see, in much the same way that Dark Order on BTE gradually informed their act on Dynamite to the fact that it really got them over, I'd like to see more of, I know we see it on the lower thirds, but more of Hangman Page's like Twitter game on Dynamite. I think that can fill in the gaps for those who might think that he's not this incredible babyface. I think a lot of people do think that, but I think you can take it even further. Echoing Hamford's point, what I love about the Wardlow push and it just AEW's approach in itself is that they embrace that which so many other wrestling promoters are intent on hiding. Like the gravity of a loss can mean something. The gravity of Hangman Page's loss meant so much for his arc from All Out 2019 to here. What I loved about, and again, going back to that cage match, was they don't have to be out-of-the-box, incredible pro wrestlers because there's very little scope to tell stories if you do that. And what I loved about the cage match and Arn Anderson's building up of Wardlow beforehand was they used a potential negative and turned it into a positive. Instead of saying, oh, he's green, so he's big and strong, you can beat him, with a nice euphemism, Arn Anderson all but said that in a way that protected him and said, oh, Wardlow's great, he's very powerful, but he's untested. Which is their way of saying, he's a fantastic prospect, look at him, he's terrifying, but he doesn't know the game as well as you do, Cody. And that will inform the story of this match as well. But I do expect this to be laid out meticulously to get a lot out of Wardlow, because his inclusion in this tournament is not there by accident. I'm expecting a really strong match here that are going to make... He's becoming like a beloved folk hero, Wardlow, isn't he? His essence is what reminds people of why they fell in love with pro wrestling in the first place. Like, deep down, we're all just a bunch of marks who like Coliseum Video, and he's got the big muscle tits. He does the thing with the strap. Like, I want him to do the thing with the belt. And you go, oh, I'm going to be the new champion, baby. He just radiates this awesome energy of a badass, and that will be preserved. There's no chance it won't be tonight.
Plus, very quickly, potential developments with Wardlow and MGF, as we alluded to when previewing this tournament.
Indeed. The story they are going to sell in the aftermath of what looks to be very much Hangman Page's victory is, didn't Wardlow give a tremendous account of himself here? He's one to watch in the future. And the idea being, even if they don't tie that with MGF's increasing, I don't know what I've created here, they will pick that thread back up later down the line. So yeah, as I said in earlier podcasts, I think this tournament, or Wardlow's subplot in it, is to gradually turn him babyface with a battling shown against the top star in Hangman Page.
It goes unspoken on Dynamite, but Wardlow's matches are effectively like watching Dark auditions, because Wardlow is paid by MJF and not Tony Khan in the story. Every single match remains a potential audition from him to get him away from MJF, but he's just allowed to forget that because he's a regular alongside MJF. And I like that wrinkle to everything he gets to do. Everything that he does on his own might as well be Eddie Kingston's match against Cody, or the first time Ben Carter shone on Dark, or something like that. It's like, we can forget that, but in storyline, that's effectively the same motivation for Wardlow, is to eventually find somebody else that can feed his family away from this rotten get in MJF.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We are a week and a half away from Full Gear. Darby Allin there, of course, challenging for the TNT Championship. But before that, Michael Sidgwick, we've got a TNT Championship lumberjack match between Cody and Orange Cassidy tonight. And Cody was a bit of an arsehole last week, if I'm perfectly honest.
I mean, he's doing this, as we've discussed on the review podcast last week, because he's wrestling a babyface who he doesn't want to outshine as a babyface, because Cody has proven himself adept. Adept, that was. You'll get the deaths tomorrow, I'm sure. Basically, flitting between the spectrum, the dynamic of being a babyface and a heel to bespoke suit whichever opponent he has. Who he's going to play at heel, maybe not overtly, but like very slyly, I expect. Why wouldn't he in a match against Orange Cassidy? This, if I'm being honest, doesn't really excite me. Everyone knows I love Cody. I love Orange Cassidy. I really rated their match. And again, it's just that exacting standard we hold AEW to. This feels like very soon for a rematch. And no amount of lampshading on Cody's part is going to make me more excited for it. Because that's exactly what it is. What was it, 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Just 2 weeks ago, we've already seen this match. Yeah, it feels, and again, this puts over AEW on the whole, as a retread. I'm sure it's got a storyline purpose. I'm sure they're not simply going to defeat Orange Cassidy. I know they didn't defeat him the first time, but, you know, he didn't win, did he? I don't think they're just going to cast him as the guy who didn't win over the span of a fortnight. I think that would be destructive. I'm expecting a big angle, and it might not necessarily tie into my four-way idea for Full Gear, that being Darby versus Cody versus Brody versus Orange. As I've said, they have been keeping all four of those within the same orbit. I expect for a reason. That reason might materialize tonight. But yeah, I'm more interested in my fantasy booking or the aftermath of the match than the match itself, which is not good because they don't do rematches too often, and they shouldn't for this specific reason.
Having said that, Sage, in saying it is repetitive booking, I think the unpredictability of it all does aid this match, Hanfler, because like Sidgwick said there, you've got Darby Allin waiting at Full Gear, you've got the visual victory of Orange Cassidy almost 2 weeks ago when he was a second away from taking that title off Cody, and you've got Brody Lee, hence the whole lumberjack stipulation. That allows for a potential conclusion here. Well, a million, hundreds of potential conclusions here. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's plenty to look forward to watching here in the lumberjack match because of all those moving parts and of all they're likely to try and set up here. I think the vibe around this one comes from something I felt when they did the draw on television a couple of weeks ago. AEW don't do this often, and I'm not a huge critic of NXT when they do it either. I think this is a number chaser. I think AEW has shown previously that they could have booked the four-way that Sidgwick's pitching or whatever the full game match is going to prove to be off the back of that draw or even off the back of a Cody win against Orange Cassidy the first time around. And I think it's okay to want to compete with Halloween Havoc. I think they'll still beat Halloween Havoc in the ratings regardless. But I think this is one of the rare cases in this war that we barely even can call it a war anymore where Halloween Havoc...
Sorry, I missed my cue there.
Was something that obviously planned and thought through and dated on the calendar. And AEW saw an opportunity that wasn't without narrative heft to run this match back one last time. I think why I think that's probably the case is because if you look, as you said yourself, we're a week and a half out from Full Gear. I think the AEW we know probably would have booked that Full Gear match off the back of the original Cody Orange Cassidy match. And this is just something they're thinking, well, we might as well use as a bonus. I have no doubt that the match will feel earned and logical at Full Gear itself, but I personally believe that's why this one doesn't carry the heft of the match a couple of weeks ago. I think this is one of the first times they've thought there is an opportunity to do a rematch with bells and whistles to try and steal a quarter of hour or whatever it is they're potentially trying to do.
We should give congratulations to Serena Deeb, new NWA Women's World Champion. First defence tonight on Dynamite, Sidge, against Layla Hirsch. I know Andy Murray's a big, big fan of Layla's. Exciting to see what happens here.
Indeed. Let's caveat that with this match is a replacement for Ty Conti, Tay Conti versus Abaddon, which I do not expect was scheduled to go 10 minutes. So my worry is that a match that I'm really quite looking forward to on the back of Layla Hirsch's dark performance yesterday, which is really, really quite good. I think they've discovered a find there. Genuinely, I thought Layla Hirsch versus Hikaru Shida was a really well done short match. My worry is that this probably isn't going to get the 3-4 minutes it needs to really showcase Hirsch, but we shall see. If in fact it is going to be a competitive match of a reasonable length, there's much to look forward to. It has been awesome on Dynamite, like genuinely so impressive. Layla Hirsch, she does a move where she does like a warp speed deadlift head drop where she just yoinked Shida off the mat and in one fluid motion spiked her on her head. It looked awesome. She looks like she's a convincing worker. The strikes were good. She did quite a few high spots as well, which were earned. They weren't just like your indie wrestler doing your bit and trying to get signed like we see too much of on Dark. So yeah, provided they get a reasonable amount of time with which to work, I think this might surprise a few people. They've done the switch because allegedly Thunder Rosa is WWE bound, and I think it'd be remiss of me not to say absolutely fair play and congratulations. We are trapped in that penultimate segment paradox from which there doesn't seem to be any escape, willingly or otherwise. If I'm a top-tier women's wrestler, I'm going to WWE over AEW. And that's an indictment of the division because every tag team wants to go to AEW. every person who doesn't have to work in the UK to get a visa, Ben Carter, wants to go to AEW. Everyone wants to leave WWE to go to AEW. And it can only be an indictment of that division after the Rosas thought, you know what? I'm going to go to WWE.
I mean, that's the first one I think of is Mercedes Martinez, and there might be other examples that have happened in a more of a quieter fashion, but Tony Khan is kind of earning these bad transfer windows with women's wrestlers because of the current state of women's wrestling in AEW. We're a year in now. I like this match. We've celebrated how Serena Deeb will probably ultimately be the secret weapon that could save and salvage and turn around like the state of women's wrestling in AEW long term, not just for what she'll do on camera, but for what she'll do behind the scenes. But we do enough previews now to worry more about where this match will slot into Dynamite rather than celebrate how great it could be. I have to admit to not yet watching this Leila Hirsch match, but I will do as a bit of homework ahead of Dynamite tonight. So I've got some level of expectation, but I would have that anyway in Serena Deeb. If they put this, even to the extent of putting this in a different spot in the show, might show a bit of commitment to Deeb and to their own division. If it appears where it normally does, at the back end of that second hour, then it's just another women's match that happens to have a new belt in it. That's not me negatively previewing a match. That's just sort of realistically assessing still where they're at. Like, they have to show the changes before we can really talk about them.
Before we get to Inner Circle's town hall meeting, not a good night to be Matt Sydal, Michael Hanfler. He goes up against Eddie Kingston tonight.
Yeah, as long as Michael Nakazawa has not joined the family, I would expect to see some like more impressive high spots from Sydal than we accidentally got it all out. I'm really looking forward to this. Really, really looking forward to this. Eddie Kingston is, as we've laboured on, really the perfect opponent for John Moxley in many ways. Arguably, other than what we've seen of him as a complete in-ring wrestler in AEW yet. The Cody match was, of course, the best moment for him as a pro wrestler. Didn't love the first Moxley match, though I've got higher expectations for the I Quit match because of the drama that stipulation brings. And I would like to see the cruel man who's had a really hard life just consistently cut the legs off a pretty chilled out flyer. I love the dynamic of Eddie Kingston versus Matt Sydal. Like, I know Matt Sydal didn't have the easiest run of it in WWE, but like, what a clean cut, smiling, high-flying, like, nice guy Matt Sydal is against this grizzled, angry man in Eddie Kingston. I love how it looks. I love how they're going to look so physically different to one another. I love how Eddie Kingston's not going to put up with Sydal, like, at any point. I think this is a terrific dynamic and a great way to put some shine on Kingston ahead of this, just the most unlikely and wonderful of pay-per-view matches that he's earned.
This should be... I criticise... till I'm blue in the face, NXT's functional booking that doesn't exist for any other purpose than to do what it's functioned to do, and that is get a wrestler to look like a winner or a, you know, whatever, or a star with a match that doesn't necessarily inform his future direction in storylines. That just happens because they want someone to look good on a given week. I will give AEW pass on this, not because I'm biased, but because genuinely it's needed for Eddie Kingston. He's sold the hell out of this match with his wonderful promo game with like a really, really deft... Yeah, he got one. He got one. One really deft booking maneuver on the part of Tony Khan. What we know of Eddie Kingston is that he's an awesome promo. He can sell you on a match. He will do obscene things to win if, in fact, he doesn't actually win. We know that with the right opponent, he's a bit hobbled, but that adds to the act, in my opinion. We know all of these things about Eddie Kingston. The one thing we don't know about Eddie Kingston is that he can ruthlessly and efficiently win a professional wrestling match. They've done everything except the basics in a strange way with this new main event proposition, which is unlikely but still incredible, as Hamflet says. This is a functional match that very much needs to happen. I'm still not going to come away with it thinking that Eddie Kingston's got a real chance of beating John Moxley. This is going to be an on-the-night thriller, not this huge thing like the Bucks versus FTR where you've got literally no idea who's going to win. So even though it's not going to substantiate the story or cast doubt over the outcome, I do think it's needed just to put that little maybe shadow of a doubt, or maybe just to get you excited about the fact that there's going to be a bit of a drama at Full Gear.
Finally, we've got Inner Circle's town hall meeting tonight, Michael. So what happens there, and how on earth do they follow Le Dîner Debonnaire?
It's time for a tentative resolution. He's not like going to join the Inner Circle and everything's going to be happily ever after. But at this point, can I see the Inner Circle beating on MJF, the heel, to set up Jericho versus MJF? I've got no idea what they do at Full Gear at this point. I can't imagine they're going to do a singles match. They'll have to do a hell of an angle to create anticipation for that singles match and not somehow babyface MJF, because why wouldn't the Inner Circle get involved? At this point, I've got no idea, but I'm still totally along for the ride. I think he joins the Inner Circle tonight, much to the chagrin of the actual Inner Circle itself. My worry, given that we've got no natural direction other than the match, which still feels too soon for Jericho and MJF, is that they're going to join the Inner Circle and we're going to get some kind of tacked on interruption with insert babyface act who aren't doing anything at Full Gear, a la Jurassic Express, maybe, looking at the history with them, Jungle Boy, that both MJF and Chris Jericho share. My worry is that we're going to get some funny words exchanged between the two, a joining of the Inner Circle, and then a tacked on babyface interruption so that MJF and Chris Jericho can team up. So there's no real deft or credible, convincing way of doing it at this point. Maybe something with Private Party, given, I don't know. I don't know about this. It should be entertaining, but I've got no idea how it's going to manifest.
I might have the Full Gear match. I was thinking about this. I agree. I think MJF's going to join the Inner Circle tonight. Sammy Guevara is busy with Matt Hardy, isn't he, at Full Gear? Yeah. That match is taking place there. So you have this new Inner Circle that I believe, in light of MJF and Chris Jericho's relationship, will take on Jurassic Express and Best Friends in a 5-on-5 match. And I think that's what we're going to get at Full Gear.
Best Friends have got Miro and Kip Sabian.
Oh, that's ruined everything. Yeah, we'll just go with Jurassic Express in some sort of threat. Maybe then, what about Jericho and MJF and Hager as the kind of dumped ex-partner of Chris Jericho? Is he busy as well?
Bellator. He's busy doing Bellator.
God damn it. Right, yeah, this angle's... I'm starting to lose a bit of faith unless he sets something up pretty quickly then. There goes two ideas that I thought were both bangers. MJF will join tonight, I think. If you do the turn, if you have Inner Circle deck Jericho tonight, you have 1 week to set up the match, and that just doesn't feel very AEW. Sometimes that can be a benefit. Sometimes less is more, and you have so little time to dedicate. You have Jericho not even appear, perhaps, until Full Gear. Like, MJF just runs roughshod over him in a promo next week, along with his new mates. I don't know.
But with Hager and Guevara occupied, that leaves Jericho, MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. You could do Jurassic Express and Wardlow if they do something with MJF and Wardlow tonight. Yeah. They could do something like that. But the thing is, though, I'm plucking these things out thin air. Whereas what I love about AEW's booking is that you can see it. You can see the big picture. It's just the anticipation and the intrigue of how they get there. But I really can't see the big picture here. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. And I'll assess that tonight.
My only ideas for tonight, and he doesn't look ahead to Full Gear, but I agree. I think MJF joins the Inner Circle. I think they maybe tease another musical number just to... one's enough. And also, I do like the idea of MJF joining the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho being so happy and saying, look, we need the visual here. He needs a jacket, though. Sammy, give him your jacket. And he's finally got this proper fitted Inner Circle jacket, and he has to immediately surrender it to MJF to just add to the storyline that you two have alluded to in the past. Very quickly, as we wrap up here then, who do you reckon wins the Wednesday Night War, Michael? You won it last week. AEW 7-5-3 plays NXT 6-4-4. You were more pessimistic than me about AEW, more optimistic than me about NXT, which means you got it, especially because Hamlet was just predicting emojis in a towel. So who knows? Anyway, how do you see it going down tonight?
The World Series is finished, so there's no incredible sporting competition to face off against. Cable News is probably going to win the night. I think I read that. Tucker Carlson's won the record for most views in a month or whatever. And obviously, given where we are at in the presidential election cycle, I feel like both shows are going to suffer. I think NXT is going to win this. If I have tortured myself, Adam Wilborn, by going on Reddit Squared Circle against my better judgment for as long as I have, for reasons I've never been able to articulate, it's that people really want Halloween Havoc to come back. If I know anything about online wrestling fandom, is that people really want it. So I think Halloween Havoc beats it 790 to 770.
Havoc?
750, 680. Virtually no change. More minging numbers to AW.
Whoa.
I'm going to go 700 for NXT, play 750 for AEW, just because we're so close to the elections. But let us know your thoughts ahead of the Wednesday Night War on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
Follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. Of course, we will be back with a review of both shows tomorrow. But for now, this has been the Wednesday Night War preview of AEW Dynamite. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick and to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.